Well, we have been discussing the question of why camp? Well, we haven't been discussing, but that was the question I posed on our bulletin this morning. Why camp? What about camp warrants a whole Sunday? Well, I hope to illuminate a little bit of that for you, but I know that I promised some of you a campfire. I was going to set it up right here on the carpet. Jane said that wouldn't work so well. Apparently this carpet is not fireproof. But I do have a campfire for you this morning. So I'm going to sit around the campfire. Now, when I'm at camp and we have a campfire, we sing some songs. And sometimes a camp leader will come out and say this. This is a repeat after me song. Somebody has been to camp. So when I say, this is a repeat after me song, you say, this is a repeat after me song. Let's try that again. This is a repeat after me song.
This is a repeat after me song.
I said a boom chicka boom.
I said a boom chicka boom.
I said a boom chicka rocka chicka rocka chicka boom. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right.
All right.
One more time.
One more time.
Helium style.
Helium style.
I said a boom chicka boom.
I said a boom chicka boom.
I said a boom chicka rocka chicka rocka chicka boom.
Oh yeah.
All right.
One more time.
Motorcycle style.
Motorcycle style.
I said a vroom chicka vroom.
I said a vroom chicka vroom.
I said a vroom chicka rocka chicka rocka chicka vroom.
I said a vroom chicka rocka chicka rocka chicka vroom.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right.
All right.
One more time.
One more time.
Janitor style.
Janitor style.
I said a broom sweep a broom.
I said a broom sweep a broom.
I said a broom sweep a broom.
I said a broom,
sweep a mop a, sweep a mop a, sweep a broom.
I said a broom, sweep a mop a, sweep a mop a, sweep a broom.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right.
All right.
No more styles.
No more styles.
Very good. Give yourselves a round of applause for that one. And then when we come back to the campfire tomorrow night, I'll teach you Taco Bell style, underwater style. So one of the questions, why camp? I mean, the most obvious answer is it's fun. These things are fun. It's fun to have time to just be silly, to just have fun. Oftentimes, we expect kids to act like adults, to be obedient, to sit still, to answer when spoken to not talk out of turn. And that doesn't give them a lot of room to be kids. So at camp, they can be silly. They can do things that are ridiculous and just for the point of having fun. Another reason for camp, as that we've been talking about all morning, is because it is so important to get out in nature, to be a part of God's creation. God's creation is so important, and nature is so fundamental to our belief that all you need to do is just open up to just about any of the Psalms, and you can see creation just infused in everything. In fact, almost every time that David or the other psalmists talk about the providence of God, how God provides, what God does, there's always a correlation to nature. We had the thankfulness of the trees and the sea that Mark read for us earlier from our Psalm of the Day. Here's one from Psalm 147, 8 through 9. God covers the sky with clouds and supplies the earth with rain, makes grass grow on the hills. God provides food for the cattle and for young ravens when they call. Psalm 36:5. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, and your justice like the great deep. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of light, and your light we see light. And if you've ever been at camp and gotten up early enough to see the sunrise, you will associate with that verse, your light. In your light we see light. And in light we see your light. Even Jesus, when talking about the providence of God, didn't say, look to the priests and the scribes, look to the wealthy people. Jesus said, look to the birds. See how God provides for them. Look to the lilies of the field. See how well they're dressed. God's providence is all throughout nature, and being within nature, being just surrounded by it in that kind of abundant way that you get at camp, it is hard to deny the providence of God through that. It also makes us more wary of how important it is for us to care for nature, to be with good stewards. And since we are sitting around this lovely campfire, which, you know, requires no maintenance, is my favorite part about this campfire. It's very easy to take care of. I want to tell you a couple of stories about a couple of campers. The first is a camper by the name of Lawrence. Now, Lawrence grew up in an urban area, and he lived alone with his mother, his single mother, and they didn't have a lot of money. And so he didn't really get a lot of opportunities for vacations. Anytime they did get time off, it was usually to visit relatives who also lived in other urban areas. And so he never really got out to the, you know, skiing in the mountains or off to a little cabin on the beach or anything like that. And so when they found out through their church that the camp was offering scholarships that he could spend a week at camp, they were kind of excited about it because it meant that it was a week that his mom did not have to take care of him or worry about what he was doing. And when he came up that week, my initial thought was, oh, he's going to be like so appreciative of the trees. And he said, oh, I've never seen these kinds of dense forests like this. Or just sort of, you know, in the urban areas, you find that all of nature is very manicured. You know, it's very isolated. We're going to have a park. Yeah, we'll have some green space, but it's only going to be restricted between these two blocks. And so even when you're there, you still sort of see the city around you. When you're out in like the dense forest, you can't see anything but nature. And so I thought that would be the thing that affected him most. And in camp, we all sit, everybody sits in their cabin. I don't know if it's the same at Camp Mac, but everybody sits with their cabin for every meal. So each table is a cabin. But the camp pastors and some of the overarching counselors, we don't have a table. And we just sort of bounce around from table to table with each meal so we can kind of check in with all the kids. So after a couple of days, I'm sitting with Lawrence at his table. And I asked him, like, hey, but it's very different from where you are, right? And he said, yeah, it is. And I said, well, what is it? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What is your feeling about it? And he said, you know, Pastor Chris, the one thing I have really noticed is the quiet. And I said, oh, well, that's funny, because every time I've been in your cabin, it has been anything but quiet. He said, no, Pastor Chris. He says, in my house, when it's nighttime, it's never quiet. There's either sirens or helicopters, or even on a pretty mellow night, you still get the like dull hum of the highway, just cars going past. And it's just never quiet. And he said, but that's the thing I noticed the most here, was that it was at night, it was quiet. And then the next day, I saw him at the lake, and he was just sitting up against a tree. you know, he was playing and stuff with the other kids too at some point, but at one point after lunch, I just saw him. He was just sitting up against a tree, just enjoying that time. And then at the end of camp, you know, I kind of try to check in with these kids, and I go up to him and I say, "Hey, are you gonna miss the quiet?" And kids are funny because they'll tell you something that you think is so profound, and then you remind them about it the next day, and they look at you like they have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, "Are you gonna miss the quiet?" And he looked at me like, "What?" And I said, "Remember when we were eating like 3 days ago?" And you said how much, he goes, oh yeah. I said, "Oh yeah." He goes, yeah, I think I will. I think I will miss the quiet. And I think that it's those moments though that really resonate, because when a kid or anybody really is taken out of an experience that they know is their only experience, and they're put into a completely different experience, even if it's just for a short period of time, having the knowledge of that different experience will stay with them. So even as he goes back and he realizes, like, yes, it's not the same, he'll still know that there are places where he can find that peace. There are places where he can find that quiet. And for other kids, it's they know that there are places where they can find that vast open area, or the dense forest, or the peace of the sunrise. And these are experiences that they wouldn't be able to experience kind of where they are day to day, or just sort of living the experience that they always have, because they wouldn't even know to necessarily look for them. But with camp, it's a different place. It's a different situation. The next story I want to talk about is a girl named Clara. Now, Clara was a unique bird. She was kind of a quirky bird. We don't really get asked for the diagnoses or things, and a lot of these kids that come from families that don't have a lot of means, they don't really kind of go through a lot of psychological diagnosing. But I think that there was clearly something different there. She was on the spectrum. There was some developmental issues, some things that she was a little bit behind the other kids on, particularly socially. And she was a little bit more immature than the other girls her age. But she tried to make up for this by being very enthusiastic. And so she just had this super enthusiasm, and she wanted to volunteer for everything. She raised her hand for everything, and she just always wanted to just kind of be present in a way of thinking like that would somehow be what everybody was looking for. I remember one of the first times I was with the group, and I was kind of doing an icebreaker, and I was talking about foods that are in the Bible. I don't know why, but that's what the icebreaker was. And I asked the kids, "What kind of foods are in the Bible?" And immediately her hand shoots up. Anytime you ask a question, her hand is the first to go up. Most of the time, if you call on her, she won't have any answer. She just wants to raise her hand. So I called on her, and she didn't have an answer right away. So the first thing she thought of was candy. So I said, "What food's in the Bible?" And she raised her hand. And I said, "Yes, what's your name, Clara?" And she said, "Candy." And, you don't want to tell anybody that they're wrong, necessarily. But I had to think. I said, "Well, there's some sweets, but they didn't really have candy back then the way that we kind of think about candy nowadays. But they did have things that were sweet." And so then she kind of gets this feeling like that she had it wrong, and I was about to call on someone else, and then she just blurts out, "Well, what about beans?" And I just, what is this candy going from candy? Maybe she was thinking candy, jelly beans, beans. She blurts out, "What about beans?" And of course, everybody laughs because beans are funny. Particularly if you're in junior high. But I actually had to stop and think about it, and I thought, are there beans in the Bible? And I was thinking, I had to really go back into my concordance and think, I'm going to get back to you on that, Clara. I'm going to get back to him. But I like your spirit, and I liked her attitude. Now, I come to find out, talking with some of the other counselors that knew her, that she has a really hard time in school. She doesn't really fit in with a lot of the other kids. She doesn't have a special program. She is in this sort of special program, but she also, one of the processes is that they go through with the other kids as well to try to help normalize these kinds of behaviors. But all the kids just think of her as weird. And this person who's, and sometimes that she's referred to as that weird girl, even if people don't know her name. And it's really hard, but like I said, her spirit is very, she still has a lot of like desire and willingness and enthusiasm. And at the end of the week, we're at the campfire, and I watched her cabin the whole week. And there was a really interesting change in her cabin, because we don't have cabins, we didn't have cabins that were sectioned off by churches, right? So there's, it's not like your church, all of the youth group in your church is in this cabin, and all the youth group in your church is in this cabin. We kind of split them up, and so often a cabin will be comprised of four or five churches amongst that cabin. And so some of the people will know each other, but some of them won't, and there will often be one or two people who don't know anybody in the cabin. And so at the beginning of the cabin, there definitely was that sense of like, we don't know what to do with this person. She's just sort of weird. But then I watched, because the cabins are required to do things together the whole week. They can't go in one place. They can't go to mealtime unless they're all going together. They sit together at mealtime. They go from activity to activity as a group. They're required to stay together, and most of that is for safety reasons. You don't want them splintering off. But it's also because it helps them forge bonds with one another. And so this cabin, over the course of the week, went from not quite knowing what to do with this person to helping her out when she needed some help figuring out like what was happening or what they were supposed to be doing or when they were supposed to be doing an activity or being quiet or this kind of thing. And by the end of the week, we were all around the campfire, and we were doing these repeat after me songs. And in between the songs, the counselors are kind of looking at each other like, which one, what do you know the thing? Do you know that one? Which is the one that you do? And she just stands up and yells out to everyone, this is a repeat after me song. To which everyone replies, this is a repeat after me song. Because we're all well-trained campers. And then she proceeds to get to a point where she realizes, I don't really have something planned. I just wanted to get up and say, this is a repeat after me song. So she starts, though, because she's got a lot of enthusiasm, she starts to do kind of a song that is like, hey, we gotta go and do. And then we're kind of like, hey, we gotta go and do. And then she kind of does a little other version. And then it just sort of peters out. And then she says, thank you. And her cabin stands up and just gives her the biggest woo-hoo! This huge encouragement, because she had gone from being like Clara the weird girl to kind of Clara our weird girl. The weird girl who nobody likes to the weird girl who everybody loves. And that's really what camp is about. It is about getting into a place where there is understanding that we are all weird. And I think there's this sense that there is a sense that, yes, there is a time that, you know, that it was awkward, that somebody does something that's maybe not the kind of, doesn't pick up on those social cues. But I think that there is, everybody has something that they're insecure about. Everybody has something that they don't want people to make fun of them for. And I think that everybody has felt that time when they have been made fun of. And camp fosters such a feeling and an aura of positivity and acceptance and togetherness that those fears of being vulnerable, those fears of not being accepted, not being part of the group, not being part of the clique, those fears just go away, because those kinds of things, when we see it happening, we nip it in the bud. This is not the place for that. This is the place where we are all welcome. This is the place where we are all children of God and loved by God. Amen? And the last thing I would say, and the reason for why camp, is that it is a concentrated time. Our lives are series of events. But most of the time, it's the time between events. It's the everyday stuff that we forget about. It's the, you know, the meals every night, or going to school or work every day. But every once in a while, there is an isolated event, an event that is the light is shined upon. It is special. It is unique. And that is what we really want that week of camp to be, a special time where there is, it is remembered. Because when it is special and when it is unique, then it is something that someone can carry with them, even during those normal everyday times. So I hope that as you think about yourself, and if anybody asks you, why camp? Why are you trying to send us to camp? I hope some of these reasons will really resonate with you, and you'll be able to speak to that. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.